Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from outside the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as I-495, the Capitol Beltway around Washington, D.C.
And this is Tex, broadcasting from high above Houston, the Crystal Cathedral. Once again, welcome one and all to another exciting episode of some verbal pugilism, talking about conservatism and the fate of our nation. So what's on the agenda tonight, Rex?
Well, Tex, as always, the agenda is liberty. And lots going on. There's probably a lot for us to talk about. Folks, if you're a regular listener, you know this. And if you're new to us, then you know that Tex and Rex have no format. We are just in-your-face conservatism with a bite, and we have very few rules on this show. Basically, we make them up as we go along. The one thing I will tell you when you call in is if you're respectful, I will respect your viewpoint. No matter how wrong you are, you have a right to be as much of a moron as you want to be in this country. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. The only thing not allowed on these airways is blasphemy. If you blaspheme, I will boot you. So watch the language regarding blasphemy. Other than that, we're pretty much pretty good here. We started off the week on the 17th, which is Constitution Day, which I think is pretty important. Granted, it is a kind of a government-mandated holiday, which is a little odd, but the fact is that it is important for us to respect the Constitution. Why do we have to respect the Constitution? Well, because if we don't, and we haven't read it, and we don't know what it means, the idiots that we elect won't know what it means, won't care, and we won't know how to hold them to account. So it's very important that we focus on the Constitution. And we had the privilege this week of doing some guest interviews on Bard's Logic Political Talk, which is Robert Jetter's show that airs 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Thursday. And this week we got to interview Mr. Virgil Goode, presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. We also interviewed Jim Clymer, his vice president. And we also had a few people from the Virginia Libertarian Party, and we're taking a look at various different options to vote for the Constitution. So check those out on Robert Jetter's show, and we'll hopefully have some clips next week to play for you. Lots of exciting things happening. You know, you can look at the news and you can start freaking out and beating your head against the wall, but my suggestion is unplug from the TV. It is trying to control your mind. You only need to listen to Tex and Rex. So, Tex, what do you got that's going on?
Well, the Romney campaign is not doing very well at all. Not that any of us ever thought that it would do well. It is proceeding according to its general plan, which is to fail. And so in that case, it's succeeding splendidly because Mitt Romney is behind in basically every single swing state. And we're talking like behind in several of them. He's 8 points behind in Iowa, so that's just pretty much gone. 8 points behind in Iowa, that's like kind of strong Obama. You know, I don't even know if that's the same state now, but the only one he's ahead in is New Hampshire. So that'll be great. He'll get those three votes, three electoral votes or whatever they have up there.
Well, that is unless Ron Paul, or Virgil Goode take it away from him in New Hampshire.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw something kind of interesting. The honey badger, John Sununu, was being all honey badgerish. He looked pretty rattled. And he was on, I guess it was MSNBC or something, so I just saw this clip, where Peggy Noonan wrote that earlier during the week that she thought that the Romney campaign was incompetent. And so John Sununu was being questioned about this. And then she said, but, you know, she actually came out with another column, which was today, whatever day this interview was done, I guess it was done earlier today, where she said that the first time she was just being nice, but she said that your campaign right now, or the Romney campaign, is a complete train wreck, or something to that effect. Just, I mean, the quote itself actually was really good. It's better than I'm doing it justice by remembering it, but just that it was a complete train wreck. And then John Sununu started sputtering. He's like, well, you know, I don't ask. This is a stupid response. That's how rattled he was. He said, I don't ask Peggy Noonan if I can write her column, right? Well, Peggy Noonan's not asking if she can run your campaign. She's telling you it sucks, right? So, you know, I mean, you could say that column sucks and it's poorly written, right? You didn't ask to write it. You just looked at it. You're like, wow, that's a crappy column. Like, everything's misspelled and, you know, all this kind of stuff. She's just saying your campaign sucks, John. And the thing is, actually it does. Now, from my understanding, John Sununu is just a surrogate, so I don't think he has an official position in the campaign. He's just sort of campaign butt boy or whatever it is he does. But it's fallen apart. Oh, and the other thing that I heard was they're interviewing Ann Romney on the radio. Like, when did this happen? This all came about with Bill Clinton, where, like, hey, by the way, you want to meet my wife because she's going to be bothering you for the next 4 years. Why? Why does she have to? I mean, you know, look, if Hillary Clinton's the president, you know, I understand why we'd hear from Bill Clinton, because he's a former president, because all former presidents, you hear about them for the rest of their lives, right?
Right.
But if it was another woman, like, say, God forbid, Dianne Feinstein or something, I would never want to hear from her husband about anything. Right?
Right?
I mean, I just would.
Yep.
Same thing with, we're voting for this guy. I don't care about his kids. I don't care about his wife. I don't care about his uncle. I don't, you know, just shut up and run the country and talk to me about that stuff. And I don't need to, your wife, like, leaning her head in every now and then waving. But so she said on this radio show, wherever it was, she was questioned, and they said, well, what do you say to all those people who, I'm not talking about Democrats who criticize your campaign, but even on the right wing, and she mentioned Peggy Noonan, and she also mentioned that Bill Kristol had some choice words for her, which I tried to dig up, but I didn't have a lot of time, choice words for her husband's campaign. And she said, well, my advice to them is to stop it. They don't know how hard this is. So, no one knows how hard it is. It's difficult to screw up an entire election so badly that everyone can see that you're the worst nominee in the history of the party.
But I like Costco.
Costco.
I like Costco. I like trees. I got a question for you, Tex. Was John Sununu cryogenically frozen, or did they just dig him up out of his crypt for this campaign?
Well, you know, he was interviewed once, and they asked him, they said, well, we have John Sununu, who is... And then they were like, John, why are you here? And all of a sudden he forgot what he was famous for. He's like, I don't remember what I did that got me here. Like, nobody, who is he? Why are you around? Former governor of New Hampshire and George Bush senior douchebag who basically cost him the election there in 1990 by saying that, let's go back on that no new taxes pledge. The only reason anybody voted for us in the first place. I mean, they were so concerned. I mean, Ron Paul was doing well in that election, 88. And, you know, the rhinos back then were George Bush Sr. and John Sununu, who's still a rhino. and they ran Ron Paul out of the party, chased him over to the Libertarian Party. And they still couldn't close the deal. I mean, for God's sake, they're running against Dukakis. Good Lord. Anyway, but they couldn't close the deal because they're like, they were the Romneys of their day, but slightly more competent. And they finally came up with, hey, read my lips, no new taxes.
Yeah.
And then they got in office and like, hey, let's totally raise taxes. Like, that'll show we could work with, in the 1990 budget deal, that'll show we can work with the Democrats. And people want Congress to work together to get things done. Yeah, well, the thing that people want you to work together to get done is to cut government spending.
Exactly.
And they don't
folks,
want you to increase it.
Yeah, exactly. And, folks, that's what you really want to think about. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. I'm going to bring in another guest shortly who's also had the privilege of interviewing some of the constitutional liberty candidates that are running. But, I mean, the one thing you want to keep in mind is look at your down ballots, look at your local guys. Everybody gives Congress a low approval rating, and then they vote for the same asshat that was in there because, oh, he's my guy. Well, you know, forget your guy. Just check him out. Is he really a constitutionalist? Is he really a conservative? Excellent. Then vote for him. If he just talks conservative but he's voting for NDAA and debt ceiling increases and bailouts and stuff, then what you got to do is you got to give him a message. And it's the same message that, the governor, you know, former governor of California gave to some people in the past. And that message is,
get out.
That's right. Just get out. Get out. If you're not going to cut the government, get out. So without further ado, Tex, I'd like to bring in our first guest, unless you got something else on your brain.
Nope. Let's bring him in.
All right. And we got our first guest. He is live. Chris, you are live with Tex and Rex. God have mercy on you.
Trog here.
How you doing, buddy?
Gentlemen,
hey,
how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're
good to hear from you.
Fired up as always, man. We are ready to take back the country, restore the Constitution, kick out the rhinos and the oligarchs, and drink some beer.
Yeah, I got about 90% of that. I'm really fired up that you're talking about this down ballot conversation because I think that's going to be a great bit that we can get into whenever you're ready to do it. I think the interviews were awesome. We also have another Kelly just linked me up with the state chair of the Fort Lauderdale area. I guess they have like a separate, Florida's big enough that they have multiple chair positions for the Libertarian Party. And then I have another gentleman who is the state chair for the Tennessee Libertarian Party, and I think we're going to get them both on Sunday, so that'll be pretty cool. So we had a chance to rehash some of the Q&A that we had a few days ago. So I'm good. I'll get on a roll in a bit.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Well, Chris, I'm going to keep your mic live, and when you want to chime in, just feel free. And I'm going to bring in another caller. I believe that we're going to have Mary live with us on the line. Mary, are you on?
Yes. Hi there.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling in. You're
sure,
on live with Tex Rex, and Chris is here as well.
Cool. Well, I'm excited about the show. I'm going to be kind of working in the background while I'm listening, and then I guess I'll just chime in if I hear you talking about something I want to talk about. How about that?
Sure. Well, we'll do that. If I get any noise of your background work, I'll just go ahead and put you on mute, but you can always hit me up and chat and tell me to bring you live.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, here's the interesting thing, and this I find to be fascinating to me because obviously we're taking a lot of flack, and, Tex and Rex, we're lightning rods, so we're used to it. I think that it's a compliment. People are at least talking about us. Why are we ruffling so many feathers? Why are people freaking out? We're just a couple of guys with big mouths on Blog Talk Radio. Well, here's why people are freaking out. And this is a fascinating aspect of human psychology. We tend to plant flags, and then we defend those flags. And it's kind of like a right or wrong. It's just, hey, look, this is the flag I planted here, so I don't want to admit that I made a mistake, so I'm going to just go ahead and defend this position. And, we were fighting for a brokered convention, which we legally got, for Newt Gingrich. And, of course, Ron Paul, because, it was going to be a tandem effort to beat the oligarchy machine. We got the broker convention. It was going to happen. Duly elected delegates had decided that they were going to submit both names into nomination, so there would be three POTUS nominees on that first ballot in Tampa. And, of course, you know, Priebus and Sununu and that crying tan beef jerky John Boehner and all those guys, they shut it down for Monday, and then they did all sorts of illegal and unethical things. And then they just had a show where they completely lied about the votes and the objections and ramrod Romney as the nominee, who is absolutely an illegitimate pretender. People freaked out because they were disappointed. They didn't get their guy, and whether their guy was Newt, Paul, or their lady, Michelle, Bachman, or Kane, or whatever. And then they decided that they were going to fall so much in fear of Barack Obama, who is just basically an incompetent golfer pretending to be president, who works for the same people that Romney works for. And so they decided that Obama is so dangerous and so frightening and so scary that they were going to do anything to defeat him, even turn back on their word to not vote for Romney. And I said it before. I've been saying it all year. Romney's going to lose. I won't vote for Romney, not now, not ever, not in November. Some other people said the same things, and then they changed their minds, which is fascinating to me because he proved everything we said about him was true. He is a liar. He's incompetent. He's losing terribly now, just like we said he would. And so they decided that Obama was so scary that they were going to capitulate and vote for Romney, knowing that Romney couldn't win. All of a sudden, they had this delusion that because he stole the nomination, he suddenly became a viable candidate. And here we are now approaching 3 weeks following
because
the convention.
Because it looked good on television, and they were able to broadcast as if there was no dissent. They figured, okay, well, it looked like there was no dissent, and therefore we'll be able to go ahead and win. Well, the problem was there's actually massive dissent within the party about doing this, and using the party rules, we were able to set something up where we could actually have a discussion about what are we doing, and nobody thinks this guy is the best guy to run, and the leadership of this party decided they didn't want to have that conversation, and now they're wondering why nobody supports their stupid rhino candidate that is failing laughably. And John Sununu, when I was watching that you on that show, I just want you to know I was laughing so hard at you and what a piece of crap you are and how you suck at campaigning. You and Karl Rove couldn't win an election to save your freaking lives. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there was massive dissent, and
the
that's
David
the interesting
Schrum
thing
of the
to me.
Republican Party.
That's brilliant. Sununu, you're Schrum. that sounds like a bad disease, right? Oh, I've got a Schrum on my ass. Can you get that off?
Sure.
It's fascinating to me because, yeah, okay, it looked good on TV, but the fact is there was massive dissent. But all of a sudden, you know, you're going to go ahead and take all the data and the facts and everything you knew about this guy losing and suddenly say he's going to win. Well, you could say it, but it's not happening. In fact, he's proving every day that 3 weeks after the convention, he's just losing miserably. Now, we can cite poll after poll that says it's a dead heat or Romney's got a 4-point lead or whatever, but these are popular polls, and that's not how we elect the president in this country. It's about the Electoral College. And you brought up, what is it, Iowa earlier, where Romney's like, what did you say he was behind, like 20 points?
No, Iowa, he's behind by 8.
Well, 8, 20, what's the difference? The fact is that he's losing it
terribly.
So.
Others.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if he's, you know, neck and neck with him on popularity, if he loses a couple of key states, he can't win. Last electoral map I saw was something like 303 Obama to like 190 something for Romney. I mean that's a pretty severe loss. So it's just fascinating to me that everything that we said was going to happen, we've been saying it for the past year, is happening, and some people have decided, well, we're going to just have to go ahead and accept him because he's our only option. But he's not the only option. We have choices. And what I'm finding fascinating to throw this out to both of you for commentary, Chris and Tex. It seems that, you know, look, I'm a pro-life guy. You know, for me, it's a very important issue, and I look at it on multiple fronts. For me, it is definitely a theological issue as a Christian. I take it as a command from God to respect all life from conception to natural death. But I also look at it from a temporal and materialistic perspective, and that is that if we are to be a free country and we are going to stand up for the principles that are enshrined both in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution, then we know that Thomas Jefferson wrote that among these unalienable rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and he listed life first, because if government is not only unwilling to protect life, but actually willing to take it, then that government has absolutely no moral basis whatsoever, because that is your first right from which all other rights descend, and it is also your first property that you own. And if they can violate your right to life, then they can violate all of your property, whether it's income tax confiscation, conscription into the military, or demanding that you install a wheelchair accessible ramp in your hardware store where you do home improvements, whatever it might be. Okay, they can force you to do these things if life is not respected, and also it's a violation of the Constitution, because the Bill of Rights clearly says that you have a right to your life. So I get accused all the time of being a one-issue voter. You're just a pro-life guy, and that's all you look at. Well, that's not true. It is an important issue for me. And when I say it's an important issue for me, it's the advancement of that issue, not necessarily a man who agrees with me or a party that agrees with me, but I seek to advance the best climate for me to actually defend life. And I can do that with someone who professes to be pro-life and someone who professes not to be pro-life, because it's the Constitution that actually protects life. So, you know, it's not that I'm a one-issue guy. It's just that that's a very important issue, but there are other considerations. And, of course, somehow if you're a one-issue voter, you're kind of, you know, myopic, you're stupid, you're limited in your view, you're not pluralistic, all these wonderful things I've been called, okay? But it seems to me that Republican voters, those who are voting Republican, and of course I am talking here at the top of the ticket. I'm not talking about local races. I'm not talking about Congress or Senate. I'm talking just right now about president, okay? It seems to me the Republicans have become one-issue voters. And that single issue that Republicans are voting on, it's not the Constitution. It's not the economy. It's not jobs. It's not pro-life. It's not the wars. It's not the bailouts. It's nothing like that. The one issue that the Republicans are voting on, and they're making their decision to vote for Dimwit Romney and Rand Roy Ryan, is party affiliation. That's yep. The single issue that they've got. They can't defend his position. They can't defend his record. They don't like him. Nobody likes him. Not even sure Ann Romney likes him. But he's the Republican. So just because he has the R, I'm going to vote for him. Why on earth would you be so myopic as to be a one-issue voter, and the issue that you choose is not even the Constitution? It's party affiliation. Throw it out to you guys. What do you guys think of that?
Go ahead, Rex. Or Tex.
That's absolutely what's going on. I mean, people, well, this is my team, and I gotta stick with them, even if they, you know, completely lied to me and stole, you know, the nomination and everything, and even though I don't support anything that this guy says, I mean, at least with Bob Dole, he's done something, you know. I mean, Bob Dole actually was a man of accomplishment from the Senate and everything. Mitt Romney never talks about any of the things that he's done, because he can't, because the things he did are things that we hate. And currently, everyone hates Obamacare, and this is the guy who built it. Mitt Romney built Obamacare, so he can't talk about that, you know. I mean, so what's that leave? Well, he's a Republican, so I'm going to vote for him. Well, he's not really even a Republican. He may be wearing the Republican jersey, but he doesn't believe what you believe or want to accomplish the same things that you want to see have be accomplished in the country. So what is the point of supporting him? And then, I mean, to add insult to injury, when we had a convention, right, and the delegates were ready to speak, they want to hear him because they don't care. And you know, even during the primary, they didn't. There was no fair coverage of what was going on in the media. There was just Romney's media and everything else. And every other candidate was ridiculed, maligned, said they had all these horrible flaws and that they could never be elected because they were so flawed, except Rick Santorum, Mr. I lost Pennsylvania by the widest margin in, you know, Senate history, 18% or whatever it was. I mean, he got completely crushed. But then they're like, he has no one working for him, and he's got $1 million in the bank. And then the press is like, oh, Rick Santorum's really resonating with voters, and they get, because it was all a farce. I mean,
yep.
Ron Paul said it best. He's a fake. He was a fake the whole time. But you know who the real fake was? Mitt Romney. Because all these other candidates that were supposedly so bad, like Newt Gingrich and everything, what are they doing? Where is Mitt Romney? He doesn't even come out to functions anymore, because every time he does, he says the wrong freaking things. They just keep him home, and they send Newt Gingrich out to go speak on his behalf. Well, hey, idiots, why didn't you run Newt Gingrich? Because Newt Gingrich can't get Mitt Romney elected. Mitt Romney's got to get Mitt Romney elected. And turns out, guess who has all these terrible flaws? Not Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney did.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess he's a Republican, so I got to go support him. I mean, forget that. Stop doing that. Down ticket, support the Republican Party, as long as it's not a freaking rhino. And be sure you do your research this time, and don't just go voting for elephants again. Find out who the real conservatives are, and vote those guys in, because that's how you get things changed. And then when the Republican Party leadership, the Reince Priebuses and all those other people, start getting worried that, you know, we're leaving, or a significant portion of us are so upset that we left for this election, they'll start changing their tunes. And then you get the Ron Pauls and the Newt Gingriches and the Michael Steeles and all the other people who are conservatives in there to go in the background
mm-hmm.
and start fixing the party, armed with, look what you did. People left, you know?
Well, I'm sorry, Tex, are you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It actually goes back to 2008. They ran off, you know, registered independents were 30-ish percent. Now they're 40-ish percent. And if you look at the national numbers of the Democrat Party versus the Republican Party, the Democrats have 10 million more people registered than the Republicans. So when you say 30-ish to 40-ish in 2008, you can bet they were Republicans because they were sick of being lied to, you know. And I think a lot of things that came out at the end of the Bush candidacy, the Patriot Act, I've met a lot of people in these third parties that one instant was the final straw that broke the camel's back, and they got up and left the party. That wasn't the only issue, but that was a big one, because that's like, you know, let's just burn the Constitution down right now. And, you know, so a lot of people got up and left. So it was a huge number. So the independents have increased 8 to 10%. That's millions and millions of people. Well, that was in 2008. 2010 comes along, the Tea Party lifts up, Sarah Palin gets in the front of it, after being abused by both sides, including, you know, she knows the Romney camp spent some time and effort trying to destroy her also, because they hate conservatives. They hate Christians. People need to wake up to this. And they hate the Constitution, obviously, too, because, you know, like Patriot Act and NDAA and all these wonderful Republicans, everybody coos and caws over that voted for NDAA, they need to be out. You need to be replaced. You can't trust them. I don't care if they were patriots last year, if they voted for that. They're not anymore. So anyway, let me roll forward a little bit. So 2010, we had the Tea Party wave. Well, we all know what happened to that. The Republicans moved in, compressed, and basically destroyed that local grassroots system. That was all planned and strategized. We have a gentleman on my group that talks about exactly what they did. It's pretty fascinating. So they basically, you know, destroyed the Tea Party movement, put a boot on the neck, bribed everyone they could, threatened everyone they could that got elected, and put a boot on the rest of them, like Michelle Bach. Well, she's kind of hard to put a boot on. She's pretty feisty. But most of them, you know, they got a boot on their neck, so they couldn't do anything while they were in Congress. So, and then introduce Romney. Well, don't introduce him, reintroduce him, because they figured out a long time ago they were going to run him no matter what, and they figured Obama was so bad that we would accept Romney, and we would accept abuse and crime and broken rules and broken laws and broken bones even, you know, to get this guy crowned king against everything that we stand for as a party. And so here we sit at the end of the day. I don't know. What do you think this cost him? 4, 5, 6 million voters? You know, I'm sure. We don't know. You know, you never
several
know. Several
percentage.
Sure, you know,
I mean, yeah, I think what they did probably numbers. Cost them anywhere from 3 to 5%. And when Mitt Romney just made it a 3% election, because he just told 47% of Americans to go to hell, And among those 47% of people who probably were voting, you know, some of them were voting Republican because they're like, hey, I just got my first job. I haven't had to pay taxes yet because I haven't made enough money. But my candidates told me to go to hell. You know? I mean, that's way to go.
Well, what about,
way to go.
What about the people? What about the people, all the people who lost tremendous amount of the, you know, have lost their jobs, have lost their houses, who are struggling from day to day that aren't the Obama, I want you to give me something for nothing crowd that fit in that 47%. There's a lot of decent people in there, you know, that don't want a government handout. So
the hell with them. Screw them. Screw them. Who cares?
Those smoochers.
What, do you, can I say something?
Yeah, please go ahead, Mary.
Okay, what the only thing I was going to say is earlier when you were talking about how y'all have been attacked and you didn't understand why and that.
Well, that's Rex's fault.
Yeah, Rex. Well, I mean, the reason why you're attacked is because think about it this way. The people that are attacking you were so compassionate about trying to get a conservative into, you know, this nomination process for president, and then now they're not sticking with their principles, and they're doing things that don't go along with really the person they are and what they stand for, and it's got to be really odd. I mean, I just totally got out of it because I thought, this is not, you know, I just couldn't do it. I mean, and I know there's a lot of people that feel the same way. I mean, they don't want to vote for Romney. They can't vote for Romney. And so, and there's also, I thought that article in Forbes magazine that was posted today was really good, where Good was talking about how, you know, he knows there's a lot of Democrats that are not going to vote for Obama either. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that share a lot of the same things that y'all are saying here on this program, and that's why everyone's getting up in arms about it, because, and in a tizzy, because, you know, you're speaking the language that people are listening to and, you know, are agreeing with, and so that's why they're upset.
Well, you know,
Mary,
you actually
I appreciate
point.
That. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
And I think one of the things that us doing what we're doing may be causing within, you know, the new people who are now just going full on Romney is that it's causing cognitive dissonance, because they're looking at us and they're like, well, I actually agree with that, but I can't allow myself to agree with that because I have to support my team because I have this fear of Obama that's so great, you know, so I have to vote for Romney because even though I can't tell the difference between him and Obama, he at least is a different person, and maybe, you know, on a roll of the dice, statistically, he probably would be better than him. Well, he's not, because he's got a record. Go look at that record of Massachusetts. It's not good, and you know it's not good. And what's going to happen is if he does win, which is impossible, he's not going to win. I mean, even Mitt Romney doesn't think I'm going to win. He's going to win, you know. But, you know, if he does win, he's going to go in and do all that liberal stuff that you don't like. And remember how we tried to run in 2008 on limited government, reducing taxes, and the Democrats came back. They're like, you just ran up $5 trillion with the debt. You don't believe in limited government. You're a big spending party now.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, damn, that's true. Yeah, it was true. That's what hurt about it. Because we had a whole bunch of rhinos who came into Washington after they got rid of Newt Gingrich, and they started running up the thing. Guess what it's going to be like in 2016 if Mitt Romney wins this time and starts trying to run? He's going to drag our name to the mud because they're like, well, you enacted Obamacare.
Right.
You did all this kind of stuff. And, now there's no opposition anymore.
And also another thing that's a major thing about Romney, in my opinion, and also I'm sure there's a lot of other people that feel the same way that I do, and that is that to see they just can't trust him at all anymore. I mean, like, before it was kind of like, oh, his record's bad, he's bad, he's bad, but okay, if he wins the nomination, then, you know, maybe I'll consider doing it or whatever. Well, then you watch him and you see him be so corrupt and lie and cheat and just, you know, do what he did in Tampa to all those delegates that were there, which is, I mean, think about that. If I was a delegate and I paid money to go to that convention to serve a purpose, to thinking that you really are going to make a difference, and then was treated like they were treated by the RNC. I mean, it's crazy to even think that anyone would trust him now, and the RNC and the people that are in charge. I mean,
well,
and so that's why they have
to
lose. Huh?
Yeah.
That's why they have to mute on Fox News, because those are the conservative people there, and no one wants Romney. So you're right. They stick Newt on there thinking we're going to vote for Romney if Newt, I mean, you know, if he's in there talking enough and getting us fired up again.
Well, Mary, I mean, you know, let's face it. Some people are likely to vote for Romney or, quote, Republican because Newt's out there promoting the party, not necessarily Romney. But, you know, people will do that. Now, the amazing thing to me is if you need to bring in Newt, and, I mean, I've heard a lot of talk radio talking about, you know, we need someone who can really tell the story, who can speak like Reagan for the Republican Party. Who is that? And so, they're bringing in Newt Gingrich. If you really need Newt to help you win the election, why don't you just make Newt the nominee?
I know.
If you've done that, Rex,
they talked about how at the convention, you know, Obama got this big bounce because Clinton was featured there prominently, and it reminded them of why they were all Democrats and all the wonderful things that happened under Bill Clinton's presidency. Yeah, he got a big convention bounce. You know why? Because Newt Gingrich did all that. He's the one who balanced the budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Clinton's first 2 years were a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Newt Gingrich balancing the budget, lowering taxes, doing all that Contract with America made uninformed people think that, well, Bill Clinton must be doing a good job. No, it's Newt Gingrich who is doing a good job. And now our party, so you got both parties trying to get a Newt Gingrich bounce. You see what I'm saying? You see how crazy this thing is?
Yeah,
Everything's at sixes and nines now.
And I mean, it stands for conservatism, and, you know, and that's where they veered off of that big time. And I just got a delegate from Texas. He just posted that the independents are more conservative in our state than the Republicans by Ted Cruz.
Yep.
So that Ted Cruz said that.
Absolutely.
Mary, you're very right about that.
I'm down here in Texas.
Go ahead,
I'm now an independent because I'm a conservative. The Republican Party just left me. So the independents down here, they think that the, you know, the Republican Party is a bunch of rhino douchebags who are going to sell you out. So that's absolutely true, Mary.
And they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. Mary, let me point out a couple of things. And actually piggybacking on what you and Chris and Tex were just talking about. But the first thing is you mentioned, you know, why people are upset with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's something we have in this country that's a beautiful thing, and we really need to hold on to it, even though our politicians don't respect it, and we have to put men and women in office who do respect it. And that's the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful thing, and it should be read, it should be memorized, people should know it, okay? And one of the beautiful things about that First Amendment is the freedom of speech.
Right.
And it was designed specifically to protect political speech, especially that speech which is unpopular political speech. And it also has an implied right where you have a right to be offended. The thing about the First Amendment is it grants you the right to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Tex and Rex show, we aim to offend. We aim to help you exercise that right. So what we're going to do is we're going to speak about unpopular political speech, exercising the First Amendment right to say what we want to say, and helping people exercise their right to be offended. Isn't America great?
Wake up, buddy, super.
But you pointed, Chris, on those numbers that you were talking about, while you were talking, this just popped into my head. And you helped me get the numbers right. But you mentioned something about the fact that that the Democrats have pretty much twice as many registered Democrats as Republicans. Is that correct?
About 10 million. It's like 34 million to 23, 24. Yeah, something like that.
Now,
Okay.
Say that again. In the U.S. or are you talking about the whole nation?
No, in this country, there's what, like 68? What did you say? Give me those numbers. Do you have those numbers?
Well, my understanding it was 34-24. Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
so 34 million registered Democrats and 24 million registered Republicans.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now here's the fascinating thing.
The independents that decide the election, the problem the leadership makes is they call them moderates and independents. Why do they put moderates first?
Right. Because
they confuse all these independents. They're so moderate, and they just want Republicans to work with Democrats to screw us all over and destroy the Constitution and create the Leviathan that will save us, right? That's what they say. But it's the independents who are like, screw this thing. You know, I mean, we're frontiersman society. We do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's screwing us.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that I was trying to get at, and just think about this for a minute. You basically just told me that there are like a third more registered Democrats than Republicans. Yet, and to piggyback on what Tex just said, yet general nationwide polling indicates that something like 15 to 20% of Americans identify as, quote, liberal. And something like 40% identify as, quote, conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to ask yourself, if twice as many, in other words, 100% more Americans identify as conservative than liberal, how does the Democrat Party have 30% more registered voters?
Oh, that's an interesting.
I know.
Isn't that
a lot?
Go ahead.
I know why. Because, number one, they don't offend people and run them out of the party. That's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, like
there you go.
You know, and I've said this before, and I get mixed, you know, of course, you have the right to be offended by me, too. So I, not that I don't say anything that deserves it, because I do all the time, but I've said it before. The Democrats are more honest than the Republicans. Ooh, this will light people up. And I'll tell you why. Because we know exactly what the Democrats' platform is. We know exactly what they say they want to do to our country. We know exactly what they want to do in terms of socialism and programs and open borders and make you illegal aliens, you know, legal, blah, blah, blah. They do and push forward their platform on a constant basis. So they're honest about it. You may not like their platform or their principles. See, the problem with people is they think my principles are the only principles. No, they have principles. They're just different than yours. Here's the problem. You come over to the Republican side for the last few major elections and, you know, from Bush on, they said, I am this, like, i.e., no new taxes. Hey, wait, let's raise taxes. The Republicans lie constantly. Here's their platform. We believe in that platform more. It's more principled to what we believe in. But then they lie and do the opposite of what we vote them for. So in reality, Democrats have more respect from their base than Republicans. I mean, do you respect your Republican Party right now?
Not right now.
Not me. I'd like to see that poll. How many confessed Republicans and conservatives respect and trust the party? Now, that is a poll I'd like to see.
That would be a good poll.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
I suspect
absolutely.
That those numbers would be somewhat skewed, because a lot of people who probably don't feel that way would say that now simply because they've already agreed to vote Romney and they wouldn't want to feel bad about their vote. But, you know,
well,
it is certainly
worthwhile.
Well,
I just want to say that when I say, you know, Reince Pubis's name is Reince Pubis, I do say that with all due respect of a man that I want to kick in the nuts. But Mary, you had mentioned something about the delegates.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about Texas and the people from Tampa. You know, people paid their own money to go there. And some of those people were veterans of the Iraq War, of Afghanistan. They've been serving over there, multiple tours.
Mm-hmm.
They want to change this country. They fought for the country. You know, some of their friends died for the nation. They're back. They became delegates, and they want to have their voice heard because basically our leadership and the American people sent them over there to go fight a war, and they want to have their voice heard. And Mitt Romney said, nah, I'd prefer not. I don't want to hear from you. And,
yeah.
You know, when they said, without objection, that's what John Boehner said, without objection, the motion is carried. The Texas delegation was shouting, objection, objection. I mean, I've seen the video. You've seen the video.
I know.
And they're like, no, without objection. So he doesn't care about Texas. So that's 38 electoral votes Mitt Romney doesn't need, because they were just like, I can't hear Texas. Screw Texas. We don't need that one this time.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas, we can do whatever we want now, because Romney doesn't need you.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm sorry, Mary.
A friend on Facebook, you know, just got to be a friend of his from, you know, just talking about the Tampa convention, and then we ended up, you know, being friends, and, you know, he told me it, all about everything, and it's not exaggerated. They kidnapped those people on the buses with
mm-hmm.
armed guards on there and would not let them off. And, you know, and they took those people that were from Maine and wouldn't let them, you know, represent Maine. I mean, it just, they really did those things. And they turned the mics off, and they put them in the back. I mean, they just played so many dirty tricks that I just have.
Put a guy with a gun on the bus and tell you, you can't get off this thing, or what, I'm going to shoot you? I would have kicked the door out. Shoot me.
Well, I mean,
what,
he was there with his guns. I mean, they sent me a picture of it before all this was happening, just as a, look what we've got, you know, kind of a funny, you know, look, we've got protection, you know. But it wasn't so funny when, you know, when they go round and round and round and then kept them on the bus and wouldn't let them off. And then the things about planting your weed in the their little
hotel safe. So when those guys went to their hotel room, the word on the street was, every one of you, if you go, you need to go with hotel security and have them open the safe for you in case there's something already been placed in there by the RNC or their operatives or their, who was that guy who was, you know, one of the plumbers, Nixon's plumber, you know, the one, G. Gordon Liddy, you know, in case one of those guys came in and, like, did some dirty tricks on you.
Yeah, and then the lady that got, they put bullets in her luggage and knew that she'd be detained and hassled about it. And, well, I mean, my only point is a lot of people say, oh, no, no, that's, you know, that's an exaggeration. That's not true. Well, he told me it absolutely was true. And there's enough people. Mm-hmm. Y'all heard it. You were there. You know, there's, so hopefully people will understand why we are so upset with the RNC. It's because it absolutely is the honest truth. They were absolutely that bad. And
no, Mary, you should dismiss all that and just vote Romney because Obama is so bad. You just have to go along with it.
Yeah, well.
Exactly. I mean, that's literally what they're saying.
I know.
And you just look at them like, are you out of your mind? And, of course, the answer is yes, they are out of their mind.
Well,
it's beyond anything that I ever thought I would experience in my lifetime.
Right.
It's such a sobering thought. And I started doing the election fraud research months and months before the convention. And, you know, and I started building files all the way back to stuff in Maine and, you know, that type of thing. So I had kind of an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time we got to the convention, I mean, I have 1,000 line items in an Excel file of videos and articles. And I just, you know, it took me a long time just to grasp it, to really get it, my head wrapped around that this is my party.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? And I guess that's why, like, last night, I have to apologize to everybody and Al. I kind of lost it because I'm sick of people being idiots over this that have not done the research. I have seen every article, blog. You know, I'm on 5 or 6 Ron Paul websites. We saw what they did to Newt. You know, there's got to be a point in time where you see, and you know, that's one of the things, reasons that the American people rise up and go, there's people being massacred in Africa. We need to get involved. You know, and the news will play it over and over and over again until we start calling our legislators. And next thing you know, we have armed forces in Africa taking care of that rebel group down there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why aren't you doing that here in your own country? At the atrocities and the crime and the deception and the abuse that just occurred around the most important position in the world, the President of the United States. It just, the dichotomy, you know what I'm saying? The lack of willingness to even look at the truth, you know, because of their fear and their programming, we are basically set up as sheep to be taken over by an oligarchy. Because if this is what Republicans are, if this is how Republicans think, I want nothing to do with you as a Republican. I want nothing to do with this party. And so that's why we're out researching other parties, because tens of millions of people are sick of this.
Right. And, Chris, let's keep in mind, we are referring to the top of the ticket, not necessarily down-ballot Republicans. Although,
right.
You know, there are other candidates down ballot in other parties, but what I'm saying, some people might not have a constitutional candidate or libertarian down ballot. That means you may be stuck with a rhino, but it also means you might actually have a conservative who happens to be a Republican.
If you find that there's a rhino running unopposed, you need to change that. I mean, I would call your county Republican Party, ask for the sample ballot, right? Get the sample ballot. It'll have the names of everyone on there. Do research on them. And you're going to find people who are running unopposed. Figure out who they are if you can. If they're unopposed, they may not even advertise themselves. And what would be the point? They'd probably adopt a Mitt Romney strategy. I'll just stay home locked in my living room, you know, and maybe people will vote for me. But find something out. And if they're a rhino, what you got to change is in 2 years you got to find someone to run against that rhino and shut them down. But, you know,
yeah,
Chris, what you were saying is I thought the worst thing that the Republican Party, or, you know, I always associated this type of stuff with the Democrat Party, right, because they were the other, you know. But I thought the worst thing that would probably happen in this stuff is they pay you off, but, you know, they're too smart to give you cash. So they say, well, we'll give you a high-paying job or a place on the board or some BS position in order to get you to go along. But planning stuff in people's hotel rooms, kidnapping, state delegation, I mean, at
broken
what
bones.
Point do you just not, at what point do you just not wake up to this thing? And look, the thing is, what people are like, well, I have to support my party, right? How is it your party or how is it your team if the leadership of your team can't freaking stand you or any of the principles you say you stand for?
Actually, this just in on the wire, Tex. This just in on the wire. Apparently, the Romney campaign has gone down in flames. Oh, no. Hold on a second. Oh, no. And Romney's airplane had to make an emergency landing because of some flames. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go back.
Seriously hope people go to Romney and tell him, look, you got to step aside. You suck. And if this is your campaign, just, you know, go to hell. And everyone around you just need to find a new hobby.
Don't y'all think there's enough good people in our country still that really are looking for a candidate that is honest? I mean, of everything, that to me is probably the one thing that I look for in a candidate right now. Are they honest? Can I trust them? Because I can't trust Obama, and I can't trust Romney. So, I mean, I think that if somebody can articulate their position in a way and carry themselves in a way where people feel they can trust them, I mean, I think they'll get votes from all, you know, all sides. I mean, and independents.
Well,
I mean, I think
Mary, as Chris's statistics point out, the only reason Republicans ever win an election is because the independents give it to them.
Yep, that's right.
But they just told the independents at the convention, like, get the hell out, right?
Okay,
we've gotten the hell out, and good luck with your 24 million versus their 34. Because what if the Democrat Party actually wasn't a communist socialist front, you know, it was actually the same sort of political party that used to be back in the days of, like, John Kennedy or something. And all the independents went over there. Well, there wouldn't be no Republican Party. They'd be like a 25% freaking party or something. Well, probably not that small, you know, but they'd be north of 30 at least.
Good point. Listen, we've gone past the hour mark, and I just want to tell anybody who wants to call in whether they agree with what we're looking at here, you know, various liberty candidates to restore the republic, or they have a different view. We welcome open talk. The guest caller number is 646-649-1013. And real quick, Mary, I would just add that, I think honesty is obviously important, but the fact is you can never really know what's in a man's heart, but what he can prove to you is dishonesty, and those two have proven dishonesty, and I mean Obama and Romney. But what I'm looking for is a man who actually is honest about the Constitution, that he actually believes that he's taking an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. That's what it takes, because the fact is the Constitution tells him, okay, you're now the president. These are, like, you know, this is all you can do. This is the parameters of the job. Oh, you're a congressman? Okay, well, these are the 18 powers you got. That's it. You can't overstep those bounds. So if they respect that oath and they respect the Constitution, then things will change. And I know that there's someone here who does respect the Constitution. If I'm not mistaken, we have a gentleman on the line who probably can't stay too long because he has a show coming up after hours. And Sammy, are you on the line?
Hey, Rex.
Hey,
hi,
Sammy.
Hey, Mary. Hey, Chris. Hey, Tex.
Hey,
I'm just getting into the show kind of late. Can somebody very briefly summarize what has been said so far?
Well, probably not, but I can just tell you this. We're talking about integrity, the Constitution, the efficacy of third parties, and the fact that there are more voters who are looking for a home than those that are in a party faction.
Amen. And I mean, we all know well too well that the RNC has proven they have zero integrity. And we know the Democrat Party has zero, or they actually got a negative amount of integrity. It's below zero. And
that's true.
And I would say right now, Virgil Good and the Constitution Party is the only party I can see out there with any integrity at all.
Well, Sammy, I will agree with you. And by the way, just so that everybody knows, you know, we're open here, so everybody gets to express their opinion. And Sammy, that is an opinion that I tend to share. But one thing I will say is that there are people of integrity in the Republican Party. There are even people of integrity in the Democrat Party. Certainly, libertarians have, you know, integrity with all their different ideologies. The concern is the organization of the party is where we have to focus. And right now, the organization of the Republican Party is corrupt to the core, and that's what we have to either fix or replace, or maybe both.
Yeah. Well, I have to hold my nose and pinch my eyes shut. There's even one Democrat that has integrity 100%. He, even though I cannot stand the guy, Dennis Kucinich. I mean, that guy will let you know where he stands at from the get-go. At least he has integrity. He's kind of like Ron Paul. I mean, they don't waver, even though I can't stand what Dennis Kucinich stands for. But at least the man does have some integrity in standing by what he stands for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's relatively consistent. I do agree with him, like, about the, you know, the Federal Reserve. Other than that,
yeah.
You know, look, I think the man has principles. I can't say I agree with him, but you're right. He is consistent. Now, the one thing that I will agree with him about, though, is there are aliens out there. And I think that we're keeping them in Area 51.
I believe that. I have my tin hat on right now.
Yeah. By the way, folks, you know that your co-host Rex is a card-carrying, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. And this month and this month only, we've got free shipping on tinfoil hats. So please send us a message, and we'll ship them out. They ship flat, some assembly required. They do
with
fit
antennas.
Most heads. Yeah, they do fit most heads with antennas. They do not fit empty heads, but please, you know, place your orders before December 21st, 2012, because we all know that that's the day that the world ends. Back to your conversation.
But, I mean, there's no integrity in the RNC or the DNC. And, I mean, I don't get me wrong. Gary Johnson has integrity. I just don't. And the Libertarian Party, I just, at this point, I can't get behind Gary Johnson just because of a couple of remarks he's made. But that's his choice. And if you're going to vote Libertarian, that is your constitutional right, as it is my
And Sammy, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, you might have some issues. And, in fact, I would argue that a lot of true conservative, especially Christian conservative voters, are going to have some issues with Gary Johnson. And I think the way you have to look at it, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not in any way encouraging you to vote for Johnson or discouraging you from voting for Good. I'm simply saying that the way we have to look at this is it's not so much comparing Good to Johnson or even comparing Good and Johnson to Ron Paul, because the fact is that you're really comparing these guys to Obama Romney.
Right.
And this is an important point, because I know for a fact that a lot of people have a problem with Johnson, specifically because of his stance on some moral issues, one being so-called gay marriage and the other one being pro-life, okay? And it is somewhat problematic for Christian voters, and I agree, because those are two important issues for me. However, I think where he overstepped, which I think was more of a political tactic than an ideological imperative, he overstepped when he said that gay marriage should be a federal issue, where if he was truly being libertarian, he would push it down to the states, where in a libertarian mindset it would belong, which is, I believe, how he approaches the abortion issue. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. You have to ask yourself, if I'm a pro-life voter or if I'm a traditional marriage voter, do I have a better chance of furthering pro-life and pro-traditional family and traditional marriage causes under corporatist Marxist Obama or corporatist capitalist Romney or libertarian Johnson? You see? Because the idea is that if Johnson is going to govern as a libertarian and his record as a two-term governor of New Mexico has been that he's fairly libertarian and that he, you know, did a lot of good economic advances for New Mexico, then wouldn't you be more empowered under a libertarian mindset of libertarian presidency to be empowered at the local level to affect change on abortion and marriage than you would with top-down guys like Obama and Romney. And the important thing to keep in mind is that I firmly believe someone's making a lot of noise back there. If you could just please mute your mic, whoever that is, opening doors and stuff. Okay, well, whoever it is, just go ahead and mute your mic, or I'll have to mute everybody. So you got to think that social issues, so-called social issues, which are really moral issues, if we make the wrong decision on those, they will eventually kill the country. And you can see that from the way we've been going the past 40 years. However, if you make the bad decisions on economic issues, the country will die tomorrow. So in a libertarian mindset, we might have some fiscal responsibility, some fiscal soundness, and some more local empowerment, which would actually be a far preferable environment than we've had for the last 40 years to further these causes that might be important to you in a true Democratic and Republican, small r, small d, manner. That's just something to think about. I'm not telling anybody how to vote. I'm just telling you that you got to think about things a little bit differently. Because we've been voting for the pro-life party with the pro-life platform for 40 years, and I got to tell you something, it hasn't done much.
They haven't done crap.
So, you know, you might need a new, you know, a new strategy. All right, folks, I've got five people on the line.
Cool.
Good. You think we got room for one or two more?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll bring them
all right.
In one by one, see what's on their mind.
Right.
And if they're trolls, I'll get the net, and someone else
will
put doorknobs in a sack, and we're ready.
Yeah, we might have enough plate twister with.
Okay, now, just so that everybody doesn't freak out, I am going to reserve the right to mute everybody, except for obviously my co-host, if people start talking over each other. So if I end up muting you, no disrespect, I'm just trying to keep mind of our audience. First caller who's been on the longest appears to be a Skype caller because it's 111. So whoever's calling in on Skype, your mic is live. Who are you and what's on your mind? Hello? Okay. I guess they just – by the way, folks, feel free to call back in. If all you want to do is listen, I'll open your mic. Just tell me I just want to listen, and I'll mute you. So I'm going to open up the next mic. If you just want to listen, just say I just want to listen, and I will mute you. But I got a caller from area code 954. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, this is Harriet. Hi, everybody, and I just want to be muted.
Okay, hi Harriet. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate the little information you just gave us about which is more important in the country, and so I'm just going to stay muted and listen to more of you.
Okay, Harriet. If you change your mind, just hit me up in chat and let me know.
You know I will. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Thank you very much. Uh huh.
Thanks. Let me just clarify what Harriet said, and I think she was saying that I pointed out which issue is more important. Let me be very clear because I don't want anybody confusing what I said. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that pro-life and pro-traditional marriage is not the most important. For you, it might very well be the most important. For me, it is definitely very important. But what's more important to me than the issue itself is the best environment and strategy to further those things that I believe in. And I believe that we've been given that environment, we've been given that strategy as an inheritance by our founding fathers. It's the U.S. Constitution. So if I can find people who adhere to the Constitution, I'm going to be able to, through grassroots activism, further those things which I find most important and most valuable. So that's how I want to clarify that. Go ahead.
Rex, can I add this to that conversation?
Yeah, please.
Sorry. Yeah, one of the things that, and maybe we need to do a show on this, on somebody's show, whatever works, whatever platform works, but talk about the Roe v. Wade thing and help people understand how those decisions really passed a lot of the decision process back to the states. And so for those people who keep trying to vote for that one candidate who makes these promises, I'm saying that really nicely, you know, that they're going to solve all the abortion problem, which is just a campaign BS in my opinion. Really, your states have a lot of power, and you need to understand what that power is, that it was passed back to the states in Roe v. Wade. A lot of people don't understand that, so I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead. Tex?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you mentioned something about Roe v. Wade and kind of reminded me, girlfriend, ex-girlfriend now, she read this book called I Am Roe about who, like Roe v. Wade. There was a person whose last name was Roe, and she was talking about what happened, where she was in her life, how she got picked up by the ACLU to run this case, all this kind of stuff. And it really talked about that case from, you know, both a constitutional perspective but also a personal personal perspective. And, you know, I have not read the book, but I remember her telling me about it. And, you know, she said it was very emotionally impactful. So, I don't know. That's where I was for a moment. I was remembering Roe, let's say. Anyway, go ahead.
I think her name is actually Norma McCorvey. I believe that's
Yeah, exactly. It was a protected name or something that she had. But anyway.
And since then, of course, she's completely had a change of heart, and she's, you know, fully pro-life, which is, you know, it's pretty amazing. Because, you know, look, the fact is that whether it's a theological proposition for you or it's just merely a point of, you know, metaphysical reality, that all your rights, all your arguments, all your perception, everything that happens in this real world stems from the fact that you are alive. If we are willing to violate your right to life, and whether that is through abortion or euthanasia or conscription or through an unjust war or an unjust death penalty, and just to be clear, I am not a pacifist, I am for a strong military, and I'm not against the death penalty. I believe that there is a valid place for the death penalty. I'm just saying through unjust means where you take someone's life, if we're willing to sanction that as law, let's be clear, it's always going to happen, murder is always going to exist, people are going to have abortions, it's a bad world, it's going to be like that, it's been like that for 10,000 years, it'll be like that for 10,000 more, unless it ends on 12/21/2012, but we can't sanction that. And that's the problem, because as soon as you sanction it for one class of humanity, then the next guy can come in and sanction it for your class of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger behind that. That's the principal danger behind it, and that's why we're failing where we're failing, because if you have no respect for life, then you have no respect for anything else. So when someone comes at me and says, economic justice is my issue, if you're dead, there's no economic justice. Ending the unjust wars is my issue. Well, if we're killing people here, why wouldn't we go overseas and kill people too? So, you know, it all comes down to this very important thing. And as a society, we have to learn to respect life and respect liberty. And that's what we're losing by having two candidates that are allegedly the front runners, like Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, because neither one of them has any respect for you. Especially if you're their supporter. Mitt Romney made that very clear in a private discussion. And Obama, I mean, come on. If he respected you, do you think that he'd be governing the way he has been for the past 3 years? Give me a break. Mary, are you still with us?
I am.
I like Costco.
I like Costco. would you agree with
trees.
That sentiment, that it's not necessarily just a theological proposition, but there is a fundamental acceptance in our American society that our documents enshrine the right to life and self-determination?
Yes, and I posted something on my wall about, I thought it was kind of interesting that there was actually a actor that was so conservative, and that was, is it Kirk Cameron, I guess was his name? And he actually is doing a movie called Monument,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be coming out, but I mean, it has a lot to do with that, too, as far as life, because it, I mean, the monument's name, I think, is Faith, and it's buried underneath all this overgrowth in Massachusetts, and they basically, he went to, you know, to find this monument and went in great detail of the, you know, the top of the monument and then what's holding it up. And part of that was the morals of our nation, and life is one of those, and had the Bible. And he went in a lot of details about what we need to get our country back
mm-hmm.
is all right there in that monument. And so it should be a really awesome film when it comes out.
That's, yeah, well, Rex.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying.
I want to compliment you, because you continually say this, you know, as the dialogue and the conversation gets confused with our individual passions over what's the most important thing for us. You keep saying it. If we don't vote for constitutional people,
mm-hmm.
it's all over. That was a conversation last night. Yeah, with Al about the NDAA. You know, you're going to go vote for a guy. You know, he didn't even know what the NDAA was. He just had to vote for Romney because he wasn't Obama. And I'm like, excuse me, NDAA, it's over.
Nobody knows what this thing is. That's what's mind-boggling. You go talk to people like, what? I don't know. What is NDAA? You know, they don't.
Well, like a sports team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had an email yesterday, and y'all have probably have seen this same subject somewhere. Did you know that Homeland Security has bought 1.5 million rounds of ammunition?
I think that's another 1.5 million rounds of ammunition, because I think they bought some last year, too.
Yeah, and I think I got this from a Newsmax, I think it was either Newsmax email or one of those conservative think tanks. And why in the hell is Homeland Security buying ammunition? Only people need ammunition are our local police forces, our state police forces, and our U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You know, they've also armed, Sammy, they've also armed IRS agents and Federal Reserve operatives. So, you know, just think about that for a minute.
It's a bunch of BS. I mean, that just—I mean, they're taking away our constitution freedom every day. And if these people out there think that Mitt Romney's going to be any different, they are completely delusional, and they're drinking some really good Kool-Aid.
Hey, I agree with Sammy.
Kool-Aid.
Yep, to you, Tex.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's very egregious. I was going to tell you that I dug up what Bill Kristol said. He said that the Romney campaign's 47% comment was stupid and arrogant, which I think is being polite there. But yeah, it's just this campaign is this isn't even a campaign. This is just like watching the Hindenburg and the Titanic all rolled into one. It's like if the Hindenburg were at sea, or if the Titanic could fly, watching the Titanic dock at New Jersey and then have it go up in flames, you're like, why?
The horror, the humanity. Well, Tex, I mean, here's the interesting thing, and I'm glad you clarified that, but I got a question, because didn't we tell all these jerk-offs for the last year that this was going to happen? And now they're acting shocked.
Yes,
they're acting shocked. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, this is an awful, terrible campaign. They make stupid mistakes. We told you they were going to do this. It's unbelievable. But here's the thing that I find fascinating, and this is what I'm hearing. And I got to say, I even heard similar words used by Newt Gingrich when he called into Sammy's show on, was it September 2nd, Sammy?
Mm-hmm. September 2nd.
September 2nd. Newt Gingrich called in and spent 18 minutes on Sammy's show, and before anybody jumps on me, because, you know, former Newt supporters think all of a sudden, you know, I hate Newt Gingrich. I love Newt Gingrich. I still support Newt Gingrich. I'm hoping that Newt Gingrich can fix the GOP, and I would like to give him some ammunition by destroying Romney so he can go back and point fingers and say, look what you guys did, now let me fix it, okay? And I respect what Newt Gingrich stands for. I just cannot capitulate and go for Romney. But And I will give this also. Some of these people might be using these words simply out of politeness and respect. But I keep hearing, you know, what happened at the convention was stupid. It was unnecessary. You know, things like that. I'm like, but let's be clear. It wasn't stupid. Was it unnecessary? Well, I guess if Romney could close the case, it wasn't unnecessary. And if he couldn't, then it became necessary for them because it's the only way to make him happen. But it was a crime. It was not only a violation of the rules, it was a violation of the law, and it was a violation of the moral law as well. And, you know, Mr. Beef Jerky John Boehner, who's always standing up in Congress and giving impassioned pro-life speeches, although I haven't seen him do much in the way of legislation, one of the commandments, other than thou shalt not kill, is thou shalt not bear false witness. This man read a teleprompter to accept the motion to proceed without all the delegates, and he asked for the ayes, and he got the ayes, and he asked for the nays. I think the nays had it, but even if the nays didn't have it, it was certainly not an audible call that you could make. And then he proceeded to read the next line on the teleprompter, which said, the ayes have it, and then he said, the motion is accepted without objection. If I'm not mistaken, if there's one nay, that's an objection. Tex?
Well, and Rex, you were there at the beach house with me, and I showed you on the TV, well, my computer was hooked up to the TV, but I showed you, there's a letter from Senate District 7 down here in Texas, which basically is the nerve center of the Texas Republican Party, which is the nerve center of the National Republican Party. And they said that the Texas delegation, and specifically Senate District 7, my delegates that I voted for, right, they were leading the fight against the rule change. And they said they had partnered with all these other states, and they were writing the Rules Committee, and they were doing all of this stuff. And so when the Texas delegation got up and was saying objection, that was my district. We said objection. We were the guys. We were objecting. And so John Boehner, and all you other guys, Tex, you got to go vote for Mitt Romney now. You got to go do that. No, I don't, because Mitt Romney doesn't care. He didn't care about Texas. He doesn't need it. This Republican Party, you guys don't know this, this thing is doing so well these days. It doesn't need money from us anymore because it's got Wall Street money. It doesn't need voters because it's got fraudulent voting machines. It doesn't even need, delegates voting for the nominee because now the nominee will pick the delegates. This thing is on autopilot now. We don't even have to do anything. We just sit at home, and we don't even have to show up at the polls anymore. So I say it's a lot easier if I just sit at home. It's like, yeah, it's that guy, and then I change channel, right? Because screw them. They're doing so good, They got everything down now.
My Rex.
Yes, Sammy,
go ahead, and then Chris.
I just want to make one real quick. At the very end of Newt's interview, at the very end of the 18 minutes, I told Newt, plain and simple, that I could not vote for Mitt Romney. Plain and simple. I said it to him respectfully and did not say it to him in an obnoxious way.
Oh, no, you were very respectful, Sammy.
And he was very respectful to me, too. And, he actually said that two or three times. He said that was the reason he called in, because he respected me.
Mm-hmm.
And so Newt knows what the frustration is, because, it was brought out two or three times by me, and I think maybe Chris or, no, it was Dan that brought it out. Tex brought it out, and about the rules changes and everything. And when Tex called in, Tex got called off guard because he didn't realize Newt was on the line.
Yeah, that was kind of a nice surprise.
I was in Key West. I just come back from dinner and everything, and so I took some beer. I had a cigar, and I was sitting out in front of the ocean. I was like, all right, I'm going to call in and have some fun. It's like, damn, we have the speaker on the line. Hey. Hi, how's it going? This is a lot different call than I thought I was going to dial into. So.
Well, here, folks, I'm going to let y'all go. I need to go cook some dinner before my show. Either Tex or Rex or Chris be calling in tonight?
Well, I can tell you for a fact that Rex will be calling in. I don't speak for the other two. They got big mouths on their own.
Hey, I might need you for about 15 minutes to kind of carry the show while I go pick up my son around midnight.
More than happy to do it, Sammy. I will definitely stay on until past midnight.
All right, well, I appreciate it. And God bless y'all, and let's keep the fight up, and let's keep on fighting for constitutional conservatives, people that believe in the Constitution. And definitely not, if you're going to vote for the Libertarian Party, go vote for them. If you're going to vote for the Constitutional Party, go vote for them. Or if you're going to write your candidate in that who you support, write them in. Because you got – my father always told me not to bend on your principles. And if I bend on my principles, I was supporting Newt Gingrich 100%. And Amen. I am not going to bend on my principles now since the RNC has screwed the conservative movement. But God bless you all, and we'll see you all at 11 o'clock.
Thanks, Sammy. We'll see you later.
God bless you, too. Bye.
Yeah, Rex, you ready?
Yeah, right before you go, Chris, let me just say that, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sammy Samford, and you can find him on Blog Talk Radio. I've also put the link in chat. That's Conservatives Unite on Blog Talk Radio. He will be broadcasting live at 11, as he does every night. To you, Chris.
The other, on my group side, I have two videos. One was recorded with when they had the stakes, you know, the proper amount of stakes so that Ron Paul could be nominated from the floor. And there was somebody that recorded that being handed to the key person. Then right after that video, I have the video of somebody interviewing Rince, out in the parking lot saying, no, we never got that. I mean, it's just back-to-back two different videos. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you see these kind of things, it's back to what everybody's saying. And I've said 100 times, doesn't that bother you? You know, if it doesn't bother you, I'm really concerned for you, because if you think that the reason we have to get Obama out is because of all the illegal things he's done, then is it Obama or the illegal things that he has done that's bothered you? Or is it just the fact he has a D next to his name? Because if you just strip the names, get rid of Democrat, get rid of Republican, get rid of Obama, get rid of Romney, and you just look at a case history of what has occurred in our primary from start to finish. Let's say you said, let's reverse it. If all of this stuff occurred in the Democratic Party and we were getting this fed to us every day, I would bet all these people who are trying to tell us to get behind Romney would be screaming every day, here's why the Democrats have to go. Look at how criminal they are. Look at all the things they do. Look what they did at their convention. They just burned the Constitution to the ground. The Republic's been thrown, you know, the Republican process has been thrown in the garbage. It would be 24/7 on Fox News as the reason why we need to make sure Democrats go. But because it's on the other side and it's an R, this stuff is okay. That's the question that I just am waiting for somebody to answer to me.
Well, Chris, go ahead.
If Mitt Romney had gotten elected in 2008 and he was a Democrat, right? And he'd do basically all the same things Barack Obama's done, right? I mean, you just look at his record in Massachusetts, and we'd be, oh, it's Mitt Romney, we got to get rid of him. You know, what if Barack Obama was our guy to get rid of him? Same set of policies. That's the problem, because all you care about is the R and the D.
R.
You know, because it's like.
R&D.
It's like it's an identity as strong as your national identity and as strong as your religious identity. Well, okay, yeah, it's a strong identity, but my identity is not based on the fact that I care about pachyderms, right? My identity is based on the fact that I stand for certain principles, or there are certain principles that I believe in, and that I expect my elected leaders to uphold, and Mitt Romney doesn't believe in those principles. And the people around him badmouth them and say that we're rigid and we're the problem, and people want Washington to work and they want to find ways to work together. No, they don't. That's that little sliver of moderates. I don't know who these moderates are, but they all fell on their head and like, I don't know who I could. Could I vote Romney? Could I vote Obama? I don't know. I can't decide. You know,
well,
the real decision makers are the independents, because the independents are the ones who swing the elections.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are like, and they just still, they don't, after the debates were over and after, I mean, like, even in Texas, I mean, when election came around, it was, you know, it didn't make any difference if you went to the polls or not, you know, I mean, so a lot of people feel like that, you know, it's, that's what it is, the two choices. And so, you know, they don't realize that they have another choice. So, that, you know, somehow we, this show and other things that we're doing will help, but I just think that you know, people get in the habit of doing things, and I was in that same habit. I mean, I've voted Republican for years and would have voted again and stayed the course if they hadn't acted the way they did in Tampa and Romney was, you know, a true, a severe conservative like he said he was in his debates. But we all know he lied, and, you know, but a lot of people don't realize that he lied. And, I mean, I just said to a friend, well, you know, he's pro, he's for abortion and, you know, gay rights and everything. And she's like, what? And I go, well, like, you need to go back and look at his record. But, I mean, like, that was just a friend. And she's like,
just really believed what she heard on TV about him being severe conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And well, so, you know, that's what we're up against.
Mary, you're absolutely right. And Mary, the amazing thing here, and I think that's what Tex and Chris were talking about, I'm glad you brought it up, is it's this false idea that you have a choice with the R and the D. And I think, you know, that's focusing on Republicans and Democrats when we should be focusing on the true R&D, which is research and development.
Mm-hmm.
Research what's going on and develop new methods. And this is part of what's called a Hegelian dialectic, where you put up a thesis and an antithesis, and people will fall into the camp of one or the other, and what you end up with by forcing it closer and closer is synthesis, where you end up with one solution. And so what we're having is we have two parties, the so-called left and the so-called right, and they keep creeping closer and closer together and putting candidates up who are more and more similar, and then eventually you end up with one party that has two facets, and so you think every 4 years we can get our team back in or get the other guy's team out, and then the policies continue to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is if you come to a fork in the road, okay, and the left road leads to a cliff, and the right road leads into a forest fire, your best bet is to make a U-turn and go back
yep.
the way you came.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we came is from the Constitution.
Right.
So I won't
Amen.
Fall off the cliff and I won't walk into the fire. I'm turning around and I'm going back to point A, which is the Constitution, and I'm going to get started there. And then before I throw it back to you, Tex, I just want to point out, you brought up pachyderms. For those of you out there who may not be familiar with the term, pachyderm refers to a certain type of animal, which includes elephants, is what I suspect Tex was referring to. But pachyderm also refers to rhinos and sometimes can also refer to pigs. Just food for thought. Back to you, Tex.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and Mary, I was going to say at the start of this, you know, campaign season, I didn't have anything against Mitt Romney. I'm like, okay, he's the guy from last time, so, you know, the party's going to say, it's his turn, but, you know, we'll see how he does. But I didn't have anything against him personally, and my thought was if it turns out to be him, that's fine. You know, I'd go along as long as he's the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it was his behavior, how he conducted himself, but also it was the way the media conducted itself in fawning on him, and the conservative media too. And this is what the conservative media doesn't understand. Republicans and independents who make up the Republican Party have from birth understood that the media is biased, that it's overwhelmingly liberal, that you can't trust it. And we can see when deceit is being told to us over the airwaves, right? We were taught to detect it. It's like people who grew up under communism. They knew what the lies were and when the lies were being told. And so now what the Republican Party decided is we'll collude with, you know, conservative media, and we'll all just start towing this line, and that'll make it true. Well, as conservatives and independents and Republicans, we can see that stuff coming a mile away, and I saw it. You saw it. We all saw it. We're like, what the hell is going on? What is with this Mitt Romney guy? And then the long knives came out, and they started, you know, stabbing the Ron Paul delegates and all this kind of stuff, and then stealing the conventions and all this stuff, you know? And at that point, I was like, this is so, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, so wrong, so evil, so
idiotic.
Yeah,
that's what I thought, too. Yeah.
I think the word you're fishing for is bullshit. Okay, let's call it what
it is.
Or I'm sorry, you're from Texas. It's horseshit. Okay, that's
it's
what
horseshit.
It is.
Down here we have horseshit. That's what we got.
You know, let's be clear, people. If you're not fired up, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. If you're not pissed off and fired up about what they did, and you just say, well, that was rude and it was unnecessary and it was kind of stupid, it was a crime. Okay, it was a moral crime, it was a rules crime, and it was a legal crime. Now, how on earth are you going to turn around and reward them for screwing you and committing a crime? I mean, that's the important thing here. And we've talked about 6,000,001 reasons why Romney's an awful candidate for over a year now. And if that didn't resonate with you, if that didn't make any sense to you, okay, maybe you didn't buy it. But the very simple fact that he stole the nomination That right there is a disqualification. You don't give a man like that your vote, because if he's willing to do that to get the nomination, how on earth do you think he's going to be when he gets in there and he beats Obama, which is not possible, but let's just say that he did, why on earth would he reverse any of the power grabs that Obama has implemented in the last 4 years? He won't, because this is the kind of guy he is. He's a sociopath who's willing to commit a crime to steal the nomination from you in order to wield the power that Obama has grown for himself on the heels of the power that George Bush grew for himself. Okay, so that's pretty important. I mean, you got to get a little upset about that. This is a crime. And Mary, the other thing you said, which I found very important, is you were talking to a friend and they were shocked at the news. And some of us get discouraged as we go, okay, we're all in agreement and we're talking to each other. And you know, people call in the show and people who listen to the show, yeah, we're all in agreement. Rah rah rah. Well, that's great, and we encourage each other, and we let each other know that we're not insane, that there are many of us, and let's face it, we are the majority, but a lot of people haven't heard this stuff. They will feel the same way that you do, and given enough time, they actually will probably vote liberty, as opposed to just falling into the paradigm of voting for criminals because they have an R behind their name. But it's up to you who know. It's not only up to you because you know, it's up to you. You have a responsibility because you're empowered with this knowledge to tell them. Now, you don't just go over and beat them with the head. Oh, my goodness, you got a Romney sticker on your car. You're an asshole. How dare you vote? Because they don't know. They think that they're supporting the conservative candidate. You ask
them.
That's
a far-fetched scenario, Rex. Nobody has a Romney sticker on their car, and you know.
Well, I have to admit that on the way to the convention, driving down all the way from D.C. all the way to Tampa, I did see a Romney sticker. So, you know, there is a guy out there.
I saw one, too, and we drove the same highway, just saying you had to stop and pick up Sammy. So I think I saw the same one guy, but I saw tons of Ron Paul people driving in, not a single Romney.
Yeah, was it a white car? Tex, was it a white car that you saw the Romney sticker on?
Yes, it was. It was a white car.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
So we saw
it was white.
Okay. All right, so we got verification. There's one guy out there with a Romney sticker. Actually, you know, I digress. I had a point to make, but I got a call today.
We never talked about it.
Yeah. Well, I got a call today from Citizens United, and they had a little audio tape of Dick Morris talking to me about some movie coming out about Obama, I guess. Anyway, so, you know, the woman was talking to me. She said, I have a message from Dick Morris that I'd like to ask you about it. And so Dick went into this whole, you know, spiel about this movie. And, you know, it sounded kind of interesting. I mean, I don't really need anybody to tell me that Obama's terrible. I kind of already know, but okay.
Yeah.
And then she started asking me questions about it. And she goes, well, we're trying to get this out. We're going to try to go nationwide. She was basically looking for a contribution to help underwrite, you know, the distribution of this movie. And she says, and if you do this now, we're going to let you know where you can see it first. And we're also going to send you a Romney Ryan sticker. And I said, what did you just say? She goes, yeah, we're going to go ahead and send you a Romney Ryan sticker if you make a contribution today. I said, oh, I got to tell you something. You had me, because I was kind of interested. And even though Dick Morris is often wrong, especially this year, you know, sometimes he's right, and this movie sounds interesting. And I was thinking about giving you some money, but then you turn around and you told me a Romney Ryan sticker. Why the hell would I want one of those? And she goes, excuse me? It's a Romney Ryan sticker. I said, no, I heard you the first time, a Romney Ryan sticker. Why would I want a Romney Ryan sticker? I'm a conservative. You called a conservative. You've probably got a conservative calling list. And you're offering me a Romney Ryan sticker. I said, if you hadn't opened up your mouth about the Romney Ryan sticker, I might have sent you $100. But now that you've opened your mouth up about Romney Ryan, I'm going to go ahead and send that $100. I'm going to send $50 to Gary Johnson and $50 to Virgil Goode.
Oh, my God. Well, see, for those of you out there, I mean, I just want you to know that, you know, we kind of, you know, go back and forth a little bit, that kind of thing. But look. At the end of the day, the Founding Fathers, they gave us the levers of power that we need to fix this thing. And, okay, so the convention, they stole that one, right? Okay, so they stole the convention. Okay, what are you going to do, right? Well, we got another thing coming up called the general election, right? Well, turns out, guess what? Just like how you voted in your state primary and you thought you were actually doing something, turns out, surprise, you actually kind of weren't. because if you didn't go to the state convention, you know, I don't know, you're just wasting your time is what you're doing. But, you know, you're expressing your sentiments. That's good. You could get your own radio show, too, and you could express your sentiment. But, you know, you did it at the polling place. But then they had conventions, and they selected the delegates, okay? So the Founding Fathers also came up with this thing called the Electoral College, which is kind of a break on, like, hey, what if, like, the people are, like, stupid? What do we do then, you know? Or what if, you know, political parties are completely venal? What do we do then? So they created the Electoral College as a break on this. Now, there's a couple reasons why the thing exists. First, because when the country started, there was this big thing about big states versus small states, and small states were jealous of their own rights and powers, and they were sort of suspicious of any kind of central government, you know. So like your Rhode Islands, your Rogues Islands, if you will, and a lot of the new Northeast states are really small, and they were concerned about the southern states being much larger than them. So they wanted an electoral college where they would have essentially not necessarily an equal voice, but a near equal voice in the process. And also at the time, there were only about 4 million people that actually lived in the United States during the time of the Revolution, the signing of the Constitution. And they're separated by, you know, thousands of miles of coast. And I know because I just drove it, Key West all the way up to Outer Banks we went. You know, there was no real communication. There were no roads back then. And so having a national campaign was just kind of, you couldn't have a national campaign. And so there were concerns that in the absence of having national campaigns in the, you know, election, people would always vote for their favorite son, you know, who was their state's most popular person. And they said, well, that's not an effective way to govern or to pick a president. They actually talked about having the state government selected, the state legislatures, but they thought that the state legislatures would use their selection of the president to erode federal authority. And remember, the Articles of Confederation were a problem. So they were also concerned, and this actually came from Henry Bolingbroke, right? So Henry St. John Bolingbroke, you may or may not know, was a big political thinker in Britain at the time, and they believed that political parties, or what they called factions, were sort of collusionists, if you will, nefarious collusionists, or, I don't know, mischievous, I guess, and or evil. So now we got a couple of political parties now, and I think we're seeing what they were talking about, because they said they vote the faction and they don't vote the principles. Romney supporters out there, Obama supporters out there, you know. So if they're not voting the principles and they're voting the jersey, it's really a problem. So that's why they wanted the Electoral College. And they also felt that, and this is kind of the kicker, the office should seek the man. The man should not seek the office. Now, this is olden times, and women weren't, you know, necessarily considered that they would be presidents back then. But that the person, the office should find the person. The person shouldn't seek the office. I have a friend, he may or may not be listening, but actually he did psychological evaluations for a police district in your town, America, let's say. And basically the deal was they had a lot of bad cops, sort of an extraordinarily large number of bad cops in their population. Yeah, exactly. So what they did was they had to weed out the bad cops. And so, you know, I talked with him, you know, about what was going on and all this kind of stuff, because we know each other from a long time. And I said, well, you know, so there's all these questions I can develop as an industrial psychologist, you know, that can kind of weed out people who have questionable behaviors and that sort of thing. He said, but the problem is, if you apply to be a cop, you're probably likely to, you know, you're just sort of in the category of somebody who wants to wield authority over others, you know.
Yep.
So it's sort of like if you want to be president, you probably shouldn't be president, you know, because you have some kind of egomaniac thing going on, you know. And so that's why they came up with the Electoral College, which is that, you know, a group of citizens who were elected, and remember, democracy back then was a lot closer than it is today. So back then, a representative would represent 30,000 people, and you probably knew your representative personally, right? So they would send sort of their best people to get together to go to the Electoral College and select the best person in the country to be the president. Regardless of who the people thought was the best president, who was the best demagogue, they didn't want the best demagogue, they wanted the best person. And the office would find the man most appropriate and the person most appropriate for the job, not some guy run around like they used to do in the Roman times in the Candidus, which is the white toga, going around seeking the office because they thought that the people who did that were were people who were power hungry. So anyway, I just want to share that about the Electoral College and let you know that we do have electors, and there are, I believe, 538 of them. And, you know, since Mitt Romney's going to lose.
Go ahead. Right, he's going to lose. I was going to say, wasn't one of those men who had the office thrust upon him John Quincy Adams?
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And I
so.
Believe
George,
that
George
I
Washington.
Believe, well, George Washington, but I was referring specifically to John Quincy Adams, who was the sixth president of the country, which I think was the election of 1824. And Adams was made president in Congress, correct? And
yeah.
I believe he was made president in Congress because no one secured the majority of the electors of the Electoral
College. They threw it to the House. They got thrown out of the House.
They threw it. Right. And so you said 538 electors, and so that means that you need 270 electors to vote for you in order to secure the nomination. And if the last number that I saw was correct, where Barack Obama has about 303 electors, that means that if Barack Obama loses, 50 of those, then he wouldn't get it. And if Romney loses 50, 60, maybe 70 of them, who knows, he wouldn't get it either. And therefore, on November 6th, both of them would lose, which is certainly a viable strategy.
Hey,
yes, Mary.
Rex, do they have to take the whole state? Like, in other words, like, would they have to win the state, or do they, portion it out like they did with the primary?
Well, the electors meet at the state house, and they decide, you know, who they're going to vote for. The thing is, recently they've all just, you know, well, it's Ronald Reagan, so let's go vote Reagan. There's never been a question. But now we got two people who... The big question in the poll is not who do you want to vote for, but the real, you know, barometer of voter sentiment now is for whom do you have the most disdain, Barack Obama or Mitt Romney? That really is what people are asking. So we're in a new place now, and so the electors, they could say, hey, you know what, screw you, I'll vote for whoever the heck I want. You know, and if you get enough dissatisfied voters to go show up and go after Barack Obama, right? Because Barack Obama really is the one at this point that we've got to prevent from getting 270, because Mitt Romney is never going to get it, stupid douchebag. And John Sununu, I'm looking at you, you pathetic piece of shit.
Moron.
And fucking Reince Priebus, I'm sorry, I hate you. I hate and Karl Rove, I can see your stupid face right now, and you suck, and you know it, and you get paid to suck. That's what... Oh, I hate you. Anyway, so these people, you know, they, when it's thrown open, you can get people to not vote for Barack Obama, so you got to shut him down so he doesn't get 270. Mitt's not in danger of getting 270. And guys, he'll be lucky if he clears 200 on this thing, right? But anyway, we got to concentrate the vote in select states and concentrate who we're going to vote for as third parties to shut this thing down so that neither of them get 270, and we throw the whole freaking thing to the House of Representatives, where we have a smoke-cured ham or beef jerky waiting there to corruptly rig the thing again, because this is the same guy who corruptly rigged Tampa. But at a certain point, there's too many corruptly rigged elections all in one year where, you know, you don't just start having, you know, the pitchforks and the flames and, you know, the firebrands coming out and everything. So I think at that point, if it does get to the House of Representatives, people will be on the phone to their representative. They're like, look, USOB, if you put Romney over the freaking top, I swear to God, you better not come back to this. You better find a new house. You better find a new place to freaking live. You better never show your face around here. You know, all that
kind
of stuff.
But I mean, like,
so,
take Texas, for instance. Okay, like we talked about how Ron Paul is so strong here. So would he have to win Texas to get those any of those electors, or will he get? Will they proportion them where he gets?
Well,
part
here's the interesting thing, Mary, and this is a very interesting fact and something that requires a significant amount of citizen attention in order to, you know, process and make sure that it's honest and straightforward. There is absolutely no constitutional provision or federal law that requires electors to vote
according to the popular vote in the states. There is no requirement, okay? And the Supreme Court has actually upheld that. The Supreme Court has upheld that, and to date, if I'm not mistaken, if somebody out there knows differently, please let me know, but to date, no elector has ever been prosecuted for failing to keep their pledge of who they would vote for according to the popular vote.
The electors are very, essentially, they're inviolable. You can't do anything to an elector, period.
So, you know, what you need to do is find out who are your electors.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are these people?
Well, it's a public position.
Well, I know,
they were elected
because we voted for them in my convention.
Yep.
So I voted for one.
You've,
I know one,
that's right.
At least.
You voted for them at the convention, and so what's going to happen is they're going to be sent
at the
to
national
make this,
one or at the state level?
No, state level. Everything is done by states. Everything is done by states. So your state party has state electors who call them because the list of delegates, they sell that stuff because the party needs money. And this year they really need money. So call them up, say, I want the list of electors and get them and contact those people. Hey, what the hell are you doing? This is
well,
my
let's be clear.
Sucks.
Let's
when
be,
we got
let's
the list
about
of delegates, will they have? Right. Will it have the electors on there, do you think?
Some of them do, yes, you can get it there. But here's the one thing to keep in mind, okay? Now, these people have already been elected to a high office of public trust, and therefore you have to be very respectful to them.
Right.
And remember that the Voters' Rights Act says that you cannot coerce, threaten, or do anything to anybody who's involved in this race, even though they're, you know, guys like that little pissant Rince Pubis and that crypt keeper John Sununu don't seem to respect that. We have to respect that. So you cannot, you know, tell your elector, you better go not vote for Romney or Obama, I'm coming at you. You know, you have to be respectful because these people have a high position. Folks, we're down to the last 13 minutes, so we're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon. But we got one final caller. And if caller, if you don't want to be on the show, just simply tell me I want to listen and I will remute your mic. But area code 925, you are live on the Tex and Rex Show. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Hey, Tex and Rex, this is Paul, the Polar Crew.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hi,
doing
Paul.
Great,
I'm supposed to yell at you for your. I'm supposed to yell at you for your area code first. I apologize, I forgot.
Oh yeah, the Sammy thing, right? I'm the threat monger from 925.
Yeah. All right, Paul. It's good to have you here. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. I didn't really have anything, any revelations to share. Except that, you know, I've been not so much out of pocket, but out of the mix for the last few weeks, taking care of my day job where I got to earn some money so I can create hell for the liberals in my off hours, and then some personal stuff as well. So I'm just glad to be back and, you know, finding some time now to join with you guys and figuring out, you know, how we're going to deal with these things. It's not if we're going to do something, it's what we're going to do something. That's what I keep telling all my neighbors around here. Say, well, tee us up, dude, because it's what I get back. So there's just a lot of good things happening in the sense that, you're saying it's how much disdain do you have for your candidate? And that permeates my neighborhood and the people that I, you know, run around with during the day and even at work. So that is, like, the number one thing that I keep hearing, man, there is just it's just terrible between both of these guys. And as you know, I think it was one of you two, Tex or Rex, that mentioned it first. But you know, who it's my criminal is better than your criminal, you know, in this election cycle. And I've been pushing that out there, and it resonates a lot with a lot of people. So that's kind of been my mantra: my criminal is better than your criminal, but I don't want him either. So anyway.
No, you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, funny you
right.
should mention that because I had a friend of mine last week was listening into our show, and they are Democrats, right? But they don't necessarily like Obama, but they're Democrats. And so while the show was going on, they texted to me that, hey, my criminal is better than your criminal. It's like, actually, I hate my criminal too. Which, I mean, that is resonating with people.
Right.
Yep, it sure is. And actually, Paul, just to let you know, we are, you know, we firmly believe here that, you know, it's important to identify the problem. And as always, Tex and Rex promise irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. But we also come up with solutions. Because if you just point out problems and sit there and bitch and have people on the show and just, you know, talk about how bad everything is and then propose nothing, then, you know, what's the point? Mm-hmm. It's pointless. So Chris, who's also on the call, has a group on Facebook
I'm not sure if you're in there, but
I am there, great. Absolutely. Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah, Chris,
okay, that's for everybody out
Chris,
there.
Chris, I'd like to apologize to you profusely for not picking up on a couple of your phone calls, because he and I do talk you know, out of band on this stuff, just one-to-one, and
okay.
just yak, and we always have a lament session, right, because that gets the energy going, mm-hmm. and then we get on, well, what are we going to do?
Right. Yep, exactly. And for everybody listening, that's on Facebook. That's Coalition of Freedom. And Chris, when you have a moment, if you could throw that in chat, that'd be great. So hit it up on Facebook, Coalition of Freedom. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and just to catch Paul up, I was wondering what happened to him. But since you've been gone, you know, we've been interviewing candidates. We've been doing the research on the third parties, finding out who's viable, finding out who the top players are, who has a chance to win or to block, you know, and also the part that I'm really excited about is this final thing is talking about down ballots. If I can throw this down before you run out of the show, Rex.
Go ahead.
You know, Libertarian Party has 569 people across the country that are trying to get elected from, you know, everything from city council to, you know, congressional positions. Constitutional Party has 152. You know, they have 21 House of Representatives and 7 senators right now in play. And this goes back to a conversation that we've had with people who've called in who are, you can tell they're probably going to spin, you know, pull the handle for Romney, but they hate themselves for it, but they're justifying their feeling because they're trying to get Republicans, you know, in the state races. And somebody had made a conversation not too long ago about, you know, we got to replace the Democrats in this state because, you know, even if we get a rhino in there, we've got to get Republicans in there and break the power struggle. Well, now we have options, folks. Between the Libertarian Party and the Conservative Party, you got, you know, regardless what you think, like Rex says about libertarians and some of their social issues or what, they are constitutionalists. They're not going to abuse the Constitution. And obviously anybody who has a name like Constitution Party is probably pro-Constitution, I would assume, right? Of course, that's what we found out. So look at your local race. I just built a document I'm working on as we're going, listing out 569 people in the Libertarian Party. I'm working on that doc right now. And the other doc, I don't have names with it, but I have states listings, how many people, who's running, whether it's sheriffs or whatever. I don't have all the names yet. Hopefully Floyd can, you know, provide that to us. But, you know, if you live in Texas, if you live in Minnesota, if you live in Ohio, look. And then I'm not telling you who to vote for, but if it's a rhino, then go look at the Conservative or the Constitution Party. Interview the guy. Figure out who he is. If he's good, then
absolutely.
The
thing is, you can't change things if you keep sending a boy to do a man's job. If you keep sending rhinos up, expecting that they're going to be this big change agent that's going to affect all this change that you want, that's never going to happen. Find out who the rhinos are, and if you have a choice, find out who the conservative is or the closest dang thing that you can figure out and vote for that person and get them there.
Yep.
And then if it's a rhino running unopposed or running against a communist socialist Democrat, then you have to make a mental note. We need to find somebody who believes in the Constitution to run for this office in 2 years.
And that might be you.
I'll be out of your way. Go ahead, Paul.
That's okay. You know what I've found in looking at this from a lens of, well, yeah, everybody's going to tell you what I seem to find is there's too many people, too many candidates who are just saying what they need to say to grab hold of a certain constituency. That's all Romney's doing. He's saying, okay, my strategy is I'm going to go after this 6% in the middle, and that'll let me win. So that's what he's doing. It's wrong, but, you know, that's what he's doing. And I'm not.
Well, actually, he's getting Newt Gingrich to do that for him.
I thought he was trying to get Gingrich to keep the base solid so that he can pander to that middle percent. That was in his last video thing that got put out against him or whatever. But, you know, anyway, where my lens was going on this is that, you know, the whoever's in the Republican ticket, I have an instantaneous distrust for what they're saying and what they will really do. But if I, you know, want to put a lens on the Libertarian or Constitutional Party folks, I am tending to have a belief that they really mean that because they're in it for doing the right thing because they have an incredible uphill battle to get that to win that seat, whatever it is they're running for. So to me, they're in it because they want this country to be right, and they're saying what they're going to do, independent of, well, you know, I got into the party, I'm liked by the party, so they're going to have me run, so what do they want me to say to win? That's where my belief system is now with the Republican Party. And that's terrible. I'm finding myself thinking this way and going, that's terrible. When did I start thinking this way, and why is that? Well,
Because they cheated. They lied.
Yeah, the why was
they
rhetorical
forced it
there,
on
you know.
This
yes,
is what Reagan
did.
Said. This is why Reagan
right,
left the Democrat Party. He was like, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to do this? Same thing with us right now.
All right, folks, we're down in the last 5 minutes, so Tex and I want to close out. So, Paul, thank you for being here, and we'll be back tomorrow night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and actually I hope you can join us on Sammy's show, 11 p.m. tonight, and thanks for calling. Any final words before I go ahead and close you out, and then I'm going to go to Mary and then Chris?
Nope, welcome to be back. Good to hear from you guys.
All right.
Go on.
Thanks, Paul. See you soon. Mary, you got any final thoughts, words, questions before we throw it to Chris and then close out?
No, just close it on out. But it was a good show, and I really appreciated being on it. So.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and hopefully we'll see you over on Conservatives Unite on Blog Talk Radio at 11. And Tex and Rex are back on tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Please spread the word because it's about liberty. It's about the Constitution. Thanks, Mary. See you soon.
Okay.
All right, Chris. I know you wanted to make a point before we close out.
Yeah, I just want to make that final. I just want to make that final point. It's important. Is that if you reach out and get a hold of these parties in your district, you will get answers. And we're trying to put answers on the site, on the group site. But also, if they need somebody to run, find people to fill those positions. Give these parties a voice. Because we need competition in our federal government. I'm done.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks. Hope to catch up with you on Sammy's. And for everybody, hit it up on Facebook, Coalition of Freedom. Thanks for calling in, Chris. And to my co-host, the ever lightning rod and impassioned despiser of the Crypt Keeper, Sununu, and that little pissant, Rince Pubis, Tex, go for it. We got 2 minutes.
Well, you know, I just want to end on a sour note here. You know, just say how bitter I am at the Republican National Committee. So I'm going to quote Joe Blaze. We got to fuck those fucking fuckers. So I was in a chain email with a bunch of Gingrich supporters, and they were talking about, well, you know, we got to vote for Romney, and of course I gave him hell. But the thing is, November 7th, when all you Romney bots are coming out of your foxholes and you're bewildered at the fact of another loss, right? We're going to fix this party, but we're not going to fix it if you don't fix your head, because your head's not right. Because if you're voting Romney, right, thinking that that's going to be your key to salvation here, you're the problem, because all these rhinos, they got to freaking go. So find your center, find your principles, and let's go fight for our principles, and let's go fix this party, and let's find all these rhinos, these John Sununus, these Karl Rove's, these Rince Pubises, these Mitt Romneys in this party, Lindsey Grahams, you know, and get them the hell out and replace them with people who we actually would be proud to vote for.
That's right. And to echo that, like we were beginning at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how a lot of Republicans have become one-issue voters. And that issue is party affiliation. Don't put party over principles. Put principles over party. Find out who is on the side of the Constitution and who is the enemy. And as far as the enemy goes, let's take the advice of the great barbarian that we know.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good. That is good.
For those of you who are afraid of conflict, contention, controversy, argument, maybe even you despise Tex and Rex, that's what politics is about. But there are rules, and we respect each other under the banner of the Constitution. If you don't respect the banner of the Constitution, if you are willing to compromise your principles for some stupid pragmatic calculation that is going to fail and cost the country, then you're actually standing as the enemy of liberty. But you can make alliances with those who are friends of liberty, even if you don't agree with them on them with things, because that's what the whole point of having a Congress is. That's the point of having federalism. So we need to stand together united under the banner of liberty. Tell your friends, inform them, let them know what the Republicans did, let them know how bad Romney is, and let them know that there are options out there so that we can restore liberty to this great land. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
Flames of liberty will never die. Till next time.